Well, hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Pup Pup and Away podcast. My name is Stephanie. I am a certified dog trainer, canine behaviorist, and dog trainer in San Antonio, Texas, and the very proud owner of Pup Pup and Away, where we offer pet care with a behavioral edge. So today we're talking about what is generalization. Did you know that there are four stages of dog training? First, there is acquisition. This is your dog learning or acquiring the skill being taught. The dog is making associations from your cues or your prompts to their behavior. They are also learning the context in which reinforcement is probable. I want you to hear that again. They are also learning the context in which reinforcement is probable. Cool. Second step is fluency. We are teaching the dog how to do the behavior faster and with more accuracy. Maybe here you're trying to wean off a specific lure or something like that. The third step is generalization. This is your dog understanding that that specific cue means to do that specific behavior for reinforcements, no matter where we are, who's around, what's going on. The little things can be little. You know, they can be working in a different room or a new person being in the training context, a different noise that just happened. It can be literally anything. Just because you don't think it means a lot doesn't mean that your dog doesn't think it means a lot. And then the last one is maintenance, your dog being able to do the behavior in a variety of contexts long term. Now, as a professional dog trainer who has worked with thousands of dogs and their families, I can tell you that the toughest stage is generalization. We as humans expect more from our dogs, and then we can't wrap our head around why our dog is failing. We get wrapped up in the, you know better than that, because we have seen better, but we've seen better in a different context. When we are training dogs, we only see us, the human, as the variable in the dog training context. We almost have like this tunnel vision and only see what I'm doing with the dog to get the dog to do the behavior. We don't think about anything else. We don't think that anything else matters, but our dogs take in so many variables of the context and antecedents of a behavior to conclude if a behavior will be rewardable. Things that I talked about before, a new person, a new sound, are we in a different room? Something tiny can mean mountains for your dogs. So three things must be looked at when trying to generalize a behavior. The first is the behavior itself, that very specific behavior. The second is the environment in which we are working. And the third is the reinforcement of that behavior in that environment. So let's talk about the environment. We need to understand that dogs perceive the world in such a different way than we do. Taking a walk in the park might be relaxing for us, but it can be so stimulating for dogs. The sights, the smells, the simple fact that they've either never experienced this environment or it's been a while, frequency is really important. All those things can be factors in which why your dog is just way more excited to be somewhere that you think is kind of an everyday, not so big deal. Yet, we expect our dogs to behave in these crazy stimulating environments as if they were at home in an environment that they see all the time, they live in. It's nothing new, nothing exciting. Because we have seen them sit hundreds of times on cue at home, surely they can do it anywhere else, right? Nope. That's exactly what generalization is and why it's so hard. We need to understand that our dogs may be in a different headspace, especially in a new environment or one that they haven't been to often. This is like asking an excited six-year-old child to sit down and do math homework when they just arrived at Disneyland. But maybe this kid will be more likely to sit down and do math homework if we always gave him a piece of candy after he got a question right, or he's been at Disneyland for 10 hours versus just getting there, or it's something that we do every single weekend. It's not as exciting anymore. We may need to take a step back in the training process. Maybe we have to start luring the sit again, even though you don't need to lure the sit at home. Maybe we need to go back to treating every single rep for a little while, even though your dog doesn't sit for a treat at home anymore. This allows for your dog to realize, oh, this is the same thing that we do at home? Yep. And this also allows you to build a reinforcement history behind this old behavior in this new environment. Once your dog realizes that reinforcements are good, if not better, in this new environment, you'll see that light bulb go off and see compliance in your training again. Now, did you just catch what I just said? Reinforcement has to be good, if not better, than the reinforcement at home. When working generalization, you have a lot of competing stimuli. Rate of reinforcement and the value of the reinforcement in this new environment is also still very important. When you're working generalization, you have a lot of competing stimuli as well as a not so rewarded behavior in this specific environment. So you need to give your dog a reason to want to listen to you and ignore a literal entire universe. Then you need to make sure that you pay them off big time. This means a higher rate of reinforcement and a high value of reinforcement than what they're used to at home. If your dog never gets hot dogs but love hot dogs, the value of that food will drive behavior in a more favorable pattern. After a few reps and a few exposures to this environment, with taking a step back in training and also building in a high frequency and rewardable history, you can then wean off the frequency of the food and the value of that food again. We've talked about the environment, the reinforcement, but let's also talk about how we can change the reinforcement in specific environments or contexts to kind of trick our dogs a little bit. But this is something that you really have to kind of take into consideration and orchestrate a little bit, because many of us use luring to get a dog to do the behavior we want. We keep pulling food out before asking for the behavior, especially before the behavior is even performed, because we use that piece of food to put it in their nose and then lure it upwards to get a sit or lure it downwards to get that down. In the beginning, our food is our lure and our reward, but we need to decrease the purpose of the food at some point to be a reward only. Not doing so will allow your dog to understand, if I don't see the food before the behavior, there will be no food or reward given. So if we have our treat pouch on and food is always probable in a training scenario, we drive the probability of that behavior up, right? It's easier for us to comply with giving food because we were prepared to give food. But when we have a real life scenario and we're not armed with our treat pouch, then no food follows the behavior. Trust that your dog is going to take note. We just taught them that performing that behavior in a context other than an orchestrated rep-style training scenario isn't going to be rewarded. To break this, we must break the lure pattern of our food. I need for you to do reps where the food doesn't lure your dog, but it's still the reward. Maybe you cue, maybe you have the hand gesture that looks like you had the lure, but you wait for your dog to do the behavior, then you mark with your special marker word or a clicker, then you reach into your treat pouch, grab that piece of food, and give your dog that piece of food. We also need to train in real life moments and still be armed and prepared with reinforcement so our dogs understand rewards are probable no matter what. This means that we have to change the context of the training scenario. This means that we have to think outside the box. This means that we have to be training and orchestrating things that look like real life, even though they're not real life, because those contexts are way different. You sitting by the garage door is way different than you sitting in the kitchen, even though it's still sitting. And even though that garage door might be very close to the kitchen. So next time that you're out and about with your dog and you see them not performing as well, but before you go saying you know better than that, remember that they probably don't, but now you do. And now you know how to help your dog through that step of learning. Because you can only say you know better than that if you can say you have seen one, that specific behavior, the sit, the down, the leave it, in two, this specific environment, on the walk, in the park, at the store, at home with guests over. And three, you've loaded a really rich reinforcement history behind that specific behavior. And that's all that I have today. We unfortunately did not get any listener questions submitted to our Instagram this week. If you're wondering what that is, it's a new segment that we're doing every Tuesday. We post up on our Instagram stories an option for you to submit a trainer question. We answer it on the Instagram the next Tuesday, but of course, just doing it in a story, I can only give you guys so much information. So then I dive a little bit further into deeper context about that training question here on the podcast. So if you have something that you'd like for us to answer, please find us on Instagram. You're going to hear more about where to find us in just a second. As always, the fun doesn't have to end here. Find us on Instagram. Our training content can be found at PupPupAndAway SA, and our nutrition content can be found at PupPupAndAway_nutrition. Visit our training Instagram page at PupPupAndAway SA every Tuesday and drop your training questions to be answered here on this podcast. Rate, review, and subscribe on whatever platform you listen to, and please share us with a friend. And of course, if you're in San Antonio, come visit us. We have boarding, training, and socialization programs for dogs on every level of the socialization spectrum, including our enrichment-based doggy daycare. And even if you don't live in SA, we can still help you train your dog through our virtual training lessons. We'll catch you on the next episode.